Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, all easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Choose from our huge inventory of boards, decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers to build your project to last. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck and fence design programs at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs and our first patio season episode for 2024. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And happy Canada Day to all the Canadians out there around the world. And and I don't know if you can see this. I'm going to try and talk into the microphone, but this is my vintage Canada Cup that I always wear on Canada Day, my vintage Canada Cup t-shirt. And happy 4th of July that's coming up too. Right, Syl? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Independence Day for our American listeners.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yeah. And congrats to the Florida Panthers on winning the Stanley Cup. The NHL draft is done and free agency is open. So we have a lot to get into. But just a reminder that BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads with the games are being played.
When the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today at betonline.ag to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or help, please reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
Yeah, so Edmonton gave it a good shot, but they couldn't complete the reverse sweep against the Florida Panthers, and the Florida Panthers won their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. So congratulations to them again. And yeah, what'd you think of the series, Syl?
Well, I think it was actually a very exciting Stanley Cup final. It was very fast paced, high intensity in the games. I just think it took Edmonton one game too many to figure out how to play these guys. Yeah, and Bobrovsky managed to pull himself together for that final game. So, you know, I kind of feel like Florida, they had their dress rehearsal last year and they got it done this year. So maybe this is the dress rehearsal for Edmonton this year. And unless they're playing the Leafs, maybe they can get it done next year.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I enjoyed it too. It's one of the first finals in a while that I've actually, like, I not to say I was glued to the TV, but I was actually interested, like, to go back when it was game night to actually watch the game. But they couldn't. I think it was just they got worn down too, Edmonton. They got worn down and they couldn't, you can't just win it just with the one player, even if you have the greatest player in the world. You can't do that.
He's willing them to take it to all the way to the end. But yeah. In that final game, he and Draisaitl, you know, they were pretty much neutralized. So that just goes to show you though, that, in the end, their goaltending, as good as Skinner was and as good as he, you know, managed to elevate his game, which he really did, it just wasn't quite enough. Their defense, not good enough for sure. And even though they all played out of their minds, in the end, they just weren't good enough.
What did you think of McDavid not coming out for the Conn Smythe trophy?
You know what? I actually didn't have a problem with it. You know, like I just, what I thought was funny is that his parents actually thought he was going to come out.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I thought that was hilarious that they're all ready to take pictures and he didn't come out. Like you'd think you'd know your son by now. I think it's an awkward moment. And I think actually somebody brought up the point that if they're going to do that and give it to an opposing player, they could have a podium set up, you know, behind the scenes instead of having to have them go off the ice and then come back onto the ice to accept this. And, you know, all the other players are milling around and, you know, they're whooping.
Yeah,
and
it's awkward.
It's an awkward moment. Yeah. So like I personally didn't have a problem with it. The guy is like a major competitor. I don't think it was a slight to the league or anything. I just think that it doesn't make sense really for them to come out.
I think if they did, like you said, if they put the trophy in a presentation in a different area, that he it would have been all right for him to just to come out and acknowledge just accept it, the sort of thing.
100%.
Yeah. Not to stay there, obviously, and wave to the fans or like that. But. So,
I mean, I remember they were showing like because of all that, you know, they kept showing pictures of the last person who got it on the losing side, which was Jaeger. Mm-hmm. And it totally looked awkward. He didn't look happy and excited to be going out there to accept it. So, anyway, switching to the Leafs, and as expected, they hired Mark Savard as an assistant coach, and we think this completes Craig Berube's coaching staff now. So we talked about the assistant coaches on our last show. And of course, this hiring wasn't really a surprise. Like to me, the only surprise really was how long it took for them to actually make the announcement.
And it took a little while because he had to, I guess, had the mutual parting of ways with the Calgary Flames, who he was an assistant coach with last season. But one thing we didn't mention was that he is a former player, NHL player. He played 807 games in the NHL. His best season was with the Atlanta Thrashers in 2005-06, where he had 97 points. So he was quite the offensive specialist as a player. So that's why
he's basically really a lot like Marner.
But and then he went on, unfortunately his career ended because of the concussion history, but then he went on to I guess be the assistant under Craig Berube, and that one season when they won the Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues in 2019-20. And then he moved on to be a head coach, which is why I'm thinking he wants to be a head coach in the NHL. I guess that's what he's aspiring to do. But he went to be a head coach with the Windsor Spitfires and he went to the OHL Championship, took them to the championship in 2022. So before he went on to work for the Flames for the one season. But I just hope, well, I'm pretty sure apparently he's very creative with his ideas of running the power play. So I guess.
And the Windsor Spitfires, second to the top of power play in the league.
Right. Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah. So, and we mentioned in our last show too, when we were talking about him, that the Calgary Flames last year, their overall power play percentage wasn't great. I think it was like 17% or something. But at the last half of the season, they really, picked it up and the power play was really good for the Calgary Flames. So yeah. So I just think it's going to make a difference. Definitely. I think, especially, with everything, just having new, fresh ideas, that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's actually cool. I'm curious to see if there's like any video and stuff that comes out, because, he's a real big stick taping nerd. And so is Austin Matthews. So it'll be dueling taping sessions between those guys.
Yeah. All right. And one more quick item about the Leafs. They announced that their development camp will take place at the Ford Center from July 3rd to the 7th. So this week. And we expect some of the players from this year's draft and other players drafted in the past couple of years will be at the camp. So I'm sure like Easton Cowan will be there, Fraser Minton again. And the new guys that were just drafted. So, we're that That'll be fun to see. They always have something interesting on social media with the development camp coming
out. And it'll be our first chance to see the new recruits, which is always exciting. And I remember the first chance we got to see Cowan too. That was pretty good because he did make an impression right off the bat. So looking forward to that.
Haley Wickenheiser will put them through their paces, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So before we move on, a programming note, as mentioned off the top of the show, we are now into our patio season. So that means we're going to be going monthly for the rest of the summer. Our next episode is going to be on August 7th, unless, of course, there is big leaf news between now and then. And if that happens, then we will definitely have a bonus episode. So the best way to not miss any episodes is to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show, Spotify, Apple. And if you can also find us on the Believe Network at Believe.com or watch our show on YouTube. So now it's time to get on to this episode, starting with some NHL updates and what caught our attention from the draft. And then for our third period segment, we welcome our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, back from the NHL draft in Vegas. Mike will give us his thoughts on what the Leafs have done so far and what else Brad Treliving may be cooking up for us. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So the NHL awards were handed out last Thursday, and I guess of the awards, Nathan MacKinnon was the big winner, taking home both the Hart and Ted Lindsay trophies. Quinn Hughes won the Norris Trophy. Connor Hellebuck won the Vezina, and Connor Bedard won the Calder Trophy for best rookie.
Another NHL update was the announcement of the 24 players that will participate, of the first 24, sorry, players that will participate in the Four Nations Face-Off next February. Of course, for the Leafs, Austin Matthews heads up Team USA, and Willie Nylander was named to Team Sweden. What did you think about the Team Canada's first six players?
It was pretty much a given. I mean, the only one that I was thinking, but Mitch didn't have a great season, right? Like it's between Braden Point and, but then Braden Point has John Cooper's the coach, right? So he's obviously going to want his player in there. But
the one I was like I know that Marchand, I don't know. I would have put Mitch there instead of him.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's the old guard. It's that they're, you know, still have him and Sid up there leading the charge as the Wily vets, I guess. So
The one thing that I thought was not a surprise, but for not a surprise for Canada especially, is for the goaltending. Only Team Finland named in the top six. And I thought to myself, okay, so Connor Hellebuck, what is he? He's not Chop good liver. Enough to be in the top six?
I think goaltending, no matter what, is a wild card. So I think that every team is going to wait until the 11th hour, until the final deadline, and they are going to go with who is playing best in that moment at that time, because it's such a huge, it's such an important position. And a goalie can always have a down year. Like there's just so many variables there, right? So I think they're going to wait until the end.
Yeah. Yeah. That was basically the only, things that were pointed out to me, I guess, in those first, for the first six players that are renamed to each nation. Mm-hmm. But, just a reminder to listeners, the Four Nations is going to replace the All-Star game. It's going to be played in next February, some of the games in Montreal, and then the last few games in Boston, and the championship game will be in Boston at TD Garden on February 20th. So it should be, it's going to be more, I think the players are going to be more into it, obviously being the first kind of best on best international event. And it'll be at least a little bit more exciting, I think, for the fans, as opposed to the All-Star game where they don't really care.
I'm nervous about Team USA, I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a warm up.
Scary, good roster.
It's a warm up for the Olympics, basically.
For sure.
It's definitely that. Yeah, but So let's move on now to the draft. The NHL draft was held at Sphere in Las Vegas, and it was quite the show. It's probably going to be the last time, though, that the event will be held in this format, unfortunately. But teams may reconsider after they saw what a fantastic venue experience that was. And actually, a lot of teams I saw just today, they said like a lot of teams stayed there, mind you, because of the condensed schedule.
The Leafs are one of them, actually.
Oh, did they stay down there? Yeah. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I know Washington did. The Capitals stayed down there. But a lot of them, I guess, because the draft was like on the Friday, Saturday, and then free agency is on Monday. So, so it's a tight schedule to get back into their hometown. So, yeah. But what did you think of the venue, Sil?
I thought it was spectacular. I thought it was a real
visual
spectacle.
Did you like the robots? And did you see the robots?
The robots.
No, when the kids were coming in, they had these robots. I thought that was a little bit too much. They had these robots welcoming, what's the number one pick? I'm forgetting his name already. From San Jose.
Oh, Celebrini?
Yes, Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini, right. Mm-hmm. They had this robot welcoming him into the sphere.
I didn't really pay attention to the robot, but maybe because I was just so mesmerized by the screen and all of the visuals on there. But I thought it was incredible, like compared to like, you know, the normal blob backdrop that you normally have and, you know, just the hockey arena or whatever. I just thought it was like a feast for the senses for sure. I thought it looked so cool. And it definitely didn't disappoint as an event, as a televised TV event. Yeah. So it was very interesting the way the whole thing went out. And that day two, I've never watched a day two from start to finish either. And that was just an exciting day as well with all of the all the trades and everything. So,
yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the trades, I guess, on the moves that other teams made other than the Leafs, because we're going to get into that with our insider, Mike Agello, in a bit. But what was there a team that you thought made some really big moves or didn't make any moves from at the draft?
I thought that some of the teams that didn't factor in as much were like, you know, a team like Boston. Like they didn't have a lot of picks. Also Pittsburgh, not a lot going on there. Yeah. So sad, too bad.
Yeah. I sent a text to Sil during on the Friday night saying, where is Kyle Dubas?
Yeah. But as far as teams that made a splash, I thought that Utah really did.
Yeah.
You know, and I was telling you off air before we came on here, you know, that I saw a tweet from Ryan Smith. Somebody was asking him, about everything. And he said, well, no one has ever really called me a patient man. So I thought that was great. I thought it really, really reminded me of when Mark Cuban came into the NBA and he made himself known. I really think that Ryan Smith is kind of going to do the same thing for hockey, and they were really acting like they were. And I'm losing
the expansion.
Expansion team.
Yeah.
And they're not. They were an existing team, and I also thought it was really cute that in the past the Coyotes all used to come in wearing matching outfits.
Yeah,
and they still did that, but
you
with
like
the different
that?
Colors. I thought it's funny that it's not that I like it. I just thought that I liked that they kept the tradition. You know, they did it before for, you know, in their previous location, they kept that up. So I thought that was kind of funny.
One thing they did that I thought I was kind of like, they kind of could have left it, I thought, but they chose Tiji Ginla as their first round pick. And I thought to myself, it would have been nice for him to go to the Flames, right? Like just if he would have drop that low, I guess, in the draft order. But he's a really good player, Jerome Ginla's son, and that was a nice moment to see them celebrate him being drafted by Utah. But Utah did a huge thing, like with getting Sergachev, obviously, and
they're
Marino.
Not messing around.
Yeah. But then, like they were saying on the broadcast too, like they have so many them and even like the Habs, they have so many draft picks over
there. Yeah, they're loaded
like
with them.
They're just
They can't keep them all. Like it's not going to help them. Like this is these are the moments where they need to use them, and definitely Utah.
Well, yeah, and as the cap goes higher, like they're going to have to get to the cap floor somehow. Like, and they can't just keep drafting players and not having someone on the payroll.
Well, right? The other thing is too is that a draft pick is actually worth more when there's no name attached to it. As soon as you've drafted somebody in the seventh round, you know, it's much harder to move that person then because, you know, this way it's like, you know, when you are staging a house for sale, you want it to be like void of any of your own personal things, right? That's the thing, so that people can imagine themselves there. If you've already attached a name or a person to that pick, it's much harder for a team to move them to that person to another team because a team envisions them their own choice in that spot, right? So
Well, we'll see what the other teams do. I mean, Tampa, I thought with that move and getting rid of Janot as well, that they would have, that was time to like get Stamkos signed, but apparently not, from what we know so far.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to get a better idea of what it was like at Sphere from our Ladies Talking Leaf insider, Mike Agello, who was there in Vegas for the draft. And then for a third period segment, we're going to chat about his thoughts on what the Leafs did on the draft floor and what they have done so far in free agency.
So it was a big day today with the opening of NHL free agency, and what a day it was. And it's still going. To talk about it all, we welcome our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Agello.
Mike covers the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter and is a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. You'll find his Leafs coverage on hockeybuzz.com, and he is co-host of Off the Post Radio and the Leafs Convo. Mike is also the site manager for the Hockey News covering the Buffalo Sabres. Thanks for coming on the show, Mike, as always.
Always a pleasure. I'm rested. Full of vim and vigor, energy, not really, but nice to see you ladies again.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to get into, actually. Let's
all of your travels.
Yeah. Yes. Let's go in order here, and we'll start with the NHL draft, which was at Sphere in Las Vegas, and that's where Mike was. And what was that experience like, Mike? Anyways,
I won't bore you with my traveling travails. I bored Syl with that for like about 20 minutes. I'll first say Sphere is breathtaking. I got into Vegas on late Wednesday, early Thursday evening morning, and you know you see it like glowing in the distance, you know, this big eyeball or whatever that, you know, there was like a number of different things. There was a hockey rink, and there was an eyeball, and there was this and that. And it's like a monstrous, like billboard. When you get up close to it, basically it's a bunch of little, like sort of LED type of like circular, like light types of things that can go a number of different, all colors of the spectrum. And that's how it projects the like a scoreboard at an arena or a scoreboard at a stadium, but monstrous. You know, I would say not as big as say Scotiabank Arena, but fairly close. And inside, it's sort of like being in an IMAX theater, but arena size. So, very, you know, very, very cool. You know, there were some logistical issues in terms of media, but that's sort of boring and nobody cares about that. It was a cool experience. I had not been to Vegas before, so the 105 degree temperatures were not to my liking, with my pale northeastern skin. Needless to say, I think I have an overdose of vitamin D after 4 days in Vegas. But the Sphere was the, you know, the optics of that, you know.
Did you see the robots?
I did not see the robots, but I did see Celine Dion, who thankfully was not moving like a robot. And You know, some of the stuff was cool. The Michael Buffer thing was pretty lame, but I'm a hard critic. You know, if they were going to do that for a couple teams, I wish they would have done that for everybody and then had like Mike Myers or Will Arnett for the Leafs or somebody like, you know, like that dude.
True.
If you can do it for all 32 teams. Although the thing is, if a team traded their first round pick, they would lose out on that. So,
Because Austin Matthews was actually in town that, you know, they did have some other players doing the intros, like Anders Lee was there.
Yes.
Bedard was there. I thought mm-hmm. maybe they might have Austin Matthews doing it for our team. Leafs went up there with no fanfare though. It was just like, they went up there and just got to it anyway.
Yeah. And of course, they traded their second round pick on day two, and there was a 4 or 5 minute delay. And of course, you know, the fans in Vegas booed the Leafs when that came along. It wasn't their fault. It was the fault that I think it was Central Registry was like trying to straighten out like what exactly the deal was or something of that nature.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
as for the draft in particular.
Yeah. That was our next question, actually, what you thought the Leafs did at the draft. Yeah.
I'll say this. Because I had the benefit of being at the scouting combine in Buffalo. So, you know, you get to talk or you get to hear a couple players and see them up close and you know, see their testing and all that those things. And you put together what you think is the area that the Leafs are going to draft. And you sort of, and I talked to like my friends who are, you know, draft analysts, and they tell you like certain three or four players that might be in that range. And the kid that I was hoping the Leafs would take was EJ Emery, who the Rangers took a pick before the Leafs.
I know. He was on our list as well.
Yeah. So they were 23, and I agreed with the tactic of trading down, I think it was 8 slots and getting a second round pick, which for a team that did not, you know, does not have a second round pick until the apocalypse because of Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
That was a smart move. But if Emery was on their board, and I have no way to know whether he was or not, he gets picked a pick before. And now, of course, and then here's the old adage. If you pick somebody, that's a guy. Oh my God, we had him on our list. Well, he was so much higher than everybody on our list. We can't believe that 30 teams passed over Ben Danford. And by the way, when he was a baby, he had a little nippy that has a Leaf emblem on it. My goodness. I mean, so not to be really critical, but most of the people who sort of ranked the prospects had Danford in the middle to late second round. He's not a particularly good offensive player. He's sort of a matchup defenseman. He's not overly big. I think he's 6'1", 195. Good skater, good defender, right-hand shot. The sort of the blueprint that came out afterwards sounded, who had a really good second half of his draft year and a great OHL playoff, and then was projected to go in the second round and got drafted at the end of the first. Oh, that's right. Easton Cowan, who set the world on fire. Now, okay. You don't follow that blueprint because it worked before. But, you know, apparently like Wes Clark and the Leafs scouting staff love Danford. Who am I to say whether he's not going to be a good defenseman? I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not a draft analyst. I just know that the people who are expert, most of them had him ranked in the middle of the second round. I talked to Craig Button as we were waiting for our Ubers after the second day of the draft. And he said, yeah, good kid, you know, good player, you know, like most players from say 25 to 45, they're sort of interchangeable. If he turns out to be an NHL defenseman because he's right-handed, you know, then he'll be worthwhile. So
yeah. That's what I thought. Like, it's later in the, like, later in the second round, basically, right? So it's really even middle to late second round. It's a crapshoot, basically, as to whether or not they're who's going to make it and actually become part of the roster. But I don't know. I heard today too. I was listening on the radio, and they gave it was on Sportsnet. They gave the Leafs a D+.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for their TSN draft. Did also. Yeah, but yeah, I think that mostly they took him for his handedness, mm-hmm. and what people say about his compete level.
Yes,
like apparently, you know, character wise, mm-hmm. and his makeup that way. I think that's, you know, what they're hanging this pick on, really, is yeah. you know, not necessarily his skill set, but with the fact that, you know, he's a kid that will apparently run through a wall, you know, for right. his teammates, right? Yeah. So,
right. And
but they gave the Leafs a D+ in whole over us yeah. as a whole, not the kid itself.
Like, yeah, no. And yeah. see, that's the thing. I mean, you got to remember that the Leafs had a fourth. Three fifths and 3/7.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not expecting, you know, a lot out of these guys. And if you do get something out of them, it's going to be 3-4 years down the road. But my issue, and again, I'm not a draft expert, but two or three of the reference materials that I use when going to the draft is the Hockey Prospect Black Book, which is like the Bible. You know, I mean, they will give you like paragraphs and paragraphs of analysis, or the EP draft guide, or a few other, and I guess I know some draft analysts. No one, the EP draft guide, the Black Book, no one knew who the fourth round pick that the Leafs took. No one knew him. Joshua Cloak in The Athletic had the first sort of breakdown of who this guy was. 6 foot, 143 pounds. I haven't been 143 pounds since I was 10. I mean, you know, now he's a brother of a Detroit Red Wings draft pick. You know, they say, you know, he's got, you know, great hockey IQ. Again, we don't know whether, but there were players that I have heard of that were ranked like second round picks in the fourth round when their pick came up, and they didn't take them. They took this kid, Victor Johansson. You know, yeah. Next thing you know, I mean, Victor Johansson is going to be the doorman at the Swedish embassy before he has a chance of being a Maple Leaf defenseman. Again, I don't know who any of the other players are. We'll wait and see. They took a couple Russians, they took another Russian goaltender. You know, you buy yourself time. You're buying European prospects, and that's the one thing. They drafted a Swede. They drafted somebody from Czechia. They drafted a couple Russians. All those players, Leahy, their seventh round pick, is going to, I think he's going to North Dakota. The college kids, the European kids, they have 4 years a window in terms of development. So they bought themselves time. A kid like Sam McHugh, who they drafted in the seventh round, is playing with Owen Sound. If they decide not to sign him, they have a 2-year window for all CHL players. So again, I don't know if it's a strong draft or not, but if other publications are giving them a D+, who am I to argue?
Yeah.
So in other words, like, we were going to ask you, are there any surprises with what the Leafs did? But I guess the big surprise is them really going off book in the way they did.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think the slight surprise was the trade down in the first round. And then apparently they didn't like anybody at 58 when their second round pick came up. So what they did was they flipped the second round pick to Florida for a second next year. And they got a seventh round pick, which was the last pick in the draft. It's Mr. Irrelevant. Now, that's a good move if you truly you didn't have anybody that was like blowing your doors off at 58. That's fine. The problem is, like, next year they have no pick. I mean, that's their first pick. They have no pick. Their first pick was in the fifth round. They're lucky that if it's going to be a decentralized draft, that they're not sending anybody to anywhere, because what would be the point? I'd be surprised if they send anybody to the combine next year, because like they don't have any picks. Now, I think it's a possibility that they'll accumulate some picks by, if they trade off some players between now and the beginning of the season or between now and the deadline. But yeah, I mean, that was mildly was surprising that they get a second round pick and then they flip it to next year.
Well, like you said, like we have not many picks to play with. And at the deadline, that's probably what they're thinking of, like thinking ahead that we might need something there to sweeten a deal somehow. Mm-hmm. Kind of unremarkable overall. I think Chris and I can agree with that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
That also. So let's move on to free agency. And it's obviously been a very busy day for the Leafs and a lot of other NHL teams. So let's just go through the signings one by one. So let's start with Max, the people that they signed that were in-house, which Max Domi, the first contract to come out 4 years at $3.75 million. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I know that over the last couple months, ever since the Leafs lost in the playoffs, the perception was they were going to sign one of Domi or Bertuzzi, and whoever took the lower bid or whoever took the more team friendly deal would get the deal, and the other person would be going some other place. And there was some chatter a couple days before. Oh, they're still talking with Bertuzzi. I don't, you know, like unless Bertuzzi was prepared to take significantly less than what he ended up getting from another team, I don't think that was realistic. He was always going to be somebody who was going to make probably in the $5 million range.
That's what he ended up getting.
Right. Yeah. And he got term. He got 4 years from Chicago. And that's a good deal. I mean, Chicago needs to build around Bedard, and they've added some veteran players, and that organization needed to do that. Domi wanted to stay in Toronto. I think it was communicated to him that if you want to stay in Toronto, you're going to have to take a little bit of a haircut, not a ton. But if you remember the article, I think it was Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic floated out there that, oh, Domi wants to stay in Toronto, but he wants, you know, 5x6. Well, see ya. That was never going to happen, especially for a guy who didn't score 10 goals. I mean, he's useful. And he played well in the second half, and he particularly played well playing with Austin Matthews. So there were benefits to bringing him, and he can play center in a pinch. So I don't think he's a center, but I think he was effective for a time. I think it's a good deal. I think it's an economical deal. I think they're going to need him to score more than 8 or 9 goals. They need him to score in the teens. But if he gets 35 to 40 assists, plays in a top six role, I mean, that's good bang for the buck. I mean, it's, you know, league average salary with a $90 million cap is in the twos. So paying, you know, three something for an above average forward is on par. So I think it was a good signing. And, you know, now maybe he changes his number to 28.
Okay, so how about on moving to the D, Timothy Liljegren for 2 years at $3 million. What do you think of that one?
Well, I know a lot of people are sort of like nonplussed about it, and a lot of people were actually pissed off about it. Like, you got to recognize, and if you look at the market, look at what right shot defensemen in this market got. You know, Brett Pesce, who's not an offensive performer, 5.5 times 6 years. You know, Chris Tanev, we'll talk about in a minute. But other right shot defensemen got, I mean, Brandon Montour, over $7 million with Seattle. I'm not saying Liljegren is as good as them, but it was a situation where, you know, he's 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. If they wanted to sign him and lock him up long term, it would have cost a lot more. This was a deal where, okay, we're going to give you the chance to walk away in 2 years if you give us a fairly reasonable deal in terms of money. And that, I think, was a meeting of the minds. If you look at his stats, you know, he had, I think, 23 points in like 55 games or something in that range.
He played well when Riley was out.
He played well basically. When Riley was out, you know. Yeah.
And then he got injured later on.
He was injured. And so the concerns that people have about him is durability. And I know the real big critics of his game are like, well, he's not great at one thing. Okay, but he's good at a lot of things. And he's right-handed. And that's the thing. It's tough to find quality right shot defensemen. So I think it was a good, reasonable deal. Now, the thing is, with the other additions that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, there's no guarantee he's going to be on this roster at the beginning of this year. I mean, they signed him. They got him on a friendly number in this market where, you know, Sean Durzi, who is a former Leaf draft pick, who, you know, who's a defensively flawed right-hand shot defenseman who got $6 million from Utah. You know, there are teams out there that need defensemen and need right shot defensemen that will say, okay, we'll take Lilia. It's not a long-term commitment. It's not a big money commitment. Fine. You know, I mean, it's movable if they go another direction. If they make a deal and they bring in another defenseman and they say, we need to shed some salary, they could move Lilia. So they're not locked into him. It's not immovable. No.
And he can at least move the puck too.
Yes.
So you know, he's much more serviceable than a lot of guys in that department.
Correct. And a new coach too might help.
For sure. Yeah.
As well.
So anyway, so let's move on to goaltending. Joseph Woll signed for 3 years at 3.66. Thoughts on that one?
Well, you know, I've long been a champion of Joseph Woll. I've liked him for a while. I thought at the beginning of the year before he got hurt that he had stolen the number one job from Samsonov. And unfortunately for him, he has the high ankle sprain, misses 3 months, comes back. And as we talked about on the show, you know, he didn't play well after coming back and, you know, they had to go with Samsonov in the playoffs. But then when they went back to Woll in the playoffs and he won those two games, I was like, you stick with him until the end. And then of course he gets hurt and they have to go back to Samsonov in Game 7. Obviously the thing that's a concern about him is durability. To the point that Trevor Living mentioned it, in the end of season media availability, you know, they believe in Woll, but they, you know, he's got a lot of ability. The one ability he doesn't have is durability. So, and that's a concern. Now, clearly they read the market. They saw situations like, you know, UC Saros got signed to a long-term deal in Nashville. You know, even marginally over the hill goaltenders like Cam Talbot get signed. You know, Jack Campbell even found a job, if you can believe it.
he went back home to Michigan.
There really, other than one or two goaltenders, there really wasn't an opportunity for the Leafs to make a deal for a goalie. And, you know, once Saros got re-signed and once those other couple, you know, once Allmark got moved, you know, there really wasn't an avenue for them to upgrade, and they believe in Woll. So they doubled down on him. So I don't have a problem with it. If he stays healthy, I think it's a great contract. If he's, got Matt Murray disease, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, then they're in trouble and they really don't have much to fall back on if that does happen. But we, you know, Leaf fans will keep their fingers and toes crossed.
And what about Matt Murray, since you mentioned him, since they signed him for a 1-year deal, $875K. I couldn't understand why they did that. Did Martin Jones end up going anywhere, or
no?
He still out there? Okay.
But Martin Jones may have wanted more than,
right?
You know,
yeah.
I mean, remember Martin Jones? I think it was $800,000 he signed for, and the reason that he snuck through waivers is because there was some signing bonus in the deal. I think that Matt Murray would clear waivers because he's Matt Murray, because you know nobody's going to, to take on that situation and could trust him. Now, this is the thing. I don't have a problem with it because if it doesn't work, they bury the salary. I mean, either he's on LTIR or he clears waivers and goes down to the Marlies and he's the third goalie like Martin Jones was. This is a guy who won 2 Stanley Cups and he is your disaster backup. So I don't have a big issue with it. I don't think they're depending on it. I think ideally they're depending on Wall and the other goalie that we'll talk about in a second. That's where I have my problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we may as well talk about the 1B that they got, which is Anthony Stolarz, who they got for 2 years at $2 million per. Just coming off of a Stanley Cup, albeit did not play in those playoffs, but when called upon during the season, had a good year for Florida.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's 6'6", right?
Yeah,
good guy.
It's unbelievable.
I heard somebody describe him as a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great, but we're not playing basketball. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I was hoping that the Leafs, if the concerns about Wall's durability were real, you would think that they would go for a legitimate 1B. Stolarz is not a legitimate 1B. He's a backup. He's been a backup his entire career. The most games he's played is 28 games. Now,
yeah, he's not a young guy anymore.
Right.
He's 30.
He's 30 years old. Now, he had great stats. He performed really well with Florida this year. But Florida had a really good defense and they won the Stanley Cup. So you'd expect, you know, Eric Comrie had great stats with Winnipeg before Buffalo signed him to a 2-year contract. And then he had to play behind Buffalo's defense. And then you found out how good Eric Comrie is.
That was it. Yeah.
And that was my concern with the other goalie that had been mentioned as a possible
Brossois, I guess.
It was Brossois.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brossois was playing in front of this and behind the same defense that Connor Hellebuck won the Vezina with. So, you know, he put up great stats. Now he's going to Chicago. We'll see what kind of goaltender Laurent Brossois is playing in front, playing behind the same defense that Peter Mrazek is playing behind. But Stolarz, reporter friends who covered him when he was in Philadelphia early in his career. I'm not saying he's a bad goaltender. I'm saying if the object of the Leafs was to get themselves a goaltender that in case Joseph Wall got hurt, that this guy could step in as a number one. Leaf fans should not be breathing a sigh of relief at the prospect of Anthony Stolarz carrying this team on their back. At least Martin Jones was the number one goaltender on a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in the last decade. Anthony Stolarz was the backup. He did not have to hold that team up on his shoulders. 2 years, fine. $2 million, it's not going to kill you. I just wish they would have gotten a better, more established goaltender, like a Kaapo Kähkönen, who was out there, who had been a starter in San Jose, who had played more games. There were other goaltenders who had played more games over the last few years, but those goalies probably would have cost them more, and they didn't want to spend that much. So I don't know. Of the signings that they made, that is the one that I'm least enthused about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Because the $2 million you think would have been better to give that to Martin Jones?
Well, at least a million and a half.
Yeah.
I would have been, if they would have signed Martin Jones for 2 years at, say, 1.4 and not sign Stolarz. And then it was Wall, Jones, and Matt Murray. Mm-hmm. I would have been more happy than spending $2 million on Stolarz.
All right. Well, that's good. So let's go on to the defense then now. Okay. So Chris Tanev. So you mentioned him before. Of course, this is the big signing that Brad Treliving has been attached to, I guess, since his days with Calgary. And and he just wanted to get him signed, and he even traded for his signing rights before July 1st. So he signed for 6 years, $4.5 million. So he'd be 40 then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay.
If first, he actually did that.
First of all, let me do my best Macaulay Culkin Home Alone type of say. Oh my God, they signed Chris Tanev? We've only been talking about this. I mean, first of all, we've been talking about Chris Tanev as a Maple Leaf going back to, I think, 2016, when he partnered with Morgan Riley at the World Championships, and everybody said, oh my God, what a great defensive pairing this would be. We got to get Chris Tanev. And he's from Toronto, too. It only took them 8 years to get him. now, I don't think, I was all in favor of it because I think he's an excellent defenseman. We saw how good he is in terms of being in a shutdown role. The way he played with Dallas, they matched him up against Eichel in the Vegas series. They matched him up against McKinnon in the Colorado series. You know, then he was injured in the Edmonton series. And I think the fact that he was hobbled, especially against McDavid, who, you know, has the warp engines on his skates, that hurt Dallas and their ability to shut Edmonton down. He's a premier shutdown defenseman. I don't think the age and the term on the deal really matters, because remember, he's 34. Had he been 35 and they signed him to this long term, then there would be cap ramifications if he retired. If he retires, say after 3 or 4 years, then, and he was over the age of 35, then that there would be cap ramifications. With this, if he retires, it just drops off. So I have a feeling that what this deal is it's a 4-year deal masquerading as a 6-year deal. Now, I haven't seen the breakdown. I know that, I think they said 80% of it is signing bonus. But if, say, for example, and there's a limit of how much you can front load a deal, but say if the AAV is 4.5, if he's getting, say, 6.5 or 7 in the first year and it tails off, he's probably getting 2.5 to 3 at the end of the deal. And those are deals that, you know, at 37, 38, 39, if he still wants to play, he can play. If he can't play, then either they buy him out or he retires. So it's not a 6-year deal. 4.5 is a very manageable cap hit, and compared to some of the other cap hits that I mentioned before, like Montour, like Brady Shea, who got $7 million in Nashville, like Brett Pesci at 5.5. I think he's just as good a shutdown defender as Brett Pesci. He's just 5 years older. So I think it's a really good deal. Obviously, the relationship between Tanev and Treliving going back to Calgary, and the fact that Tanev is from the Toronto area. And I mean, I had heard going back to, I'd say 4 or 5 months, that, you know, there were whispers, and I won't say how I knew it or who said it, but there were whispers that he wanted to play in Toronto, that he even going back to when he was in Calgary and wanted to get traded here. But, you know, worst comes to worse, he, you know, goes to Dallas, takes a run at a Stanley Cup, and now comes here, and that doesn't cost him anything more than a 2026 seventh round pick to get his negotiating rights before noon today. So I think it's not a grand slam home run, but a really good, I'd say it's an A grade in terms of an addition for the Leafs, and a defenseman that they have been looking for, that type of defenseman that they've been looking for since they traded for Jake Muzzin.
Someone to play with Morgan Riley again, right? It's like, how many partners has Morgan Riley had?
But this time, an actual right-hand shot, an actual stay-at-home guy, not a left shot like TJ Brody, not a righty who plays just like Morgan Riley in Tyson Berry, an actual complement to the type of defenseman that Riley is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So what about Oliver Ekman Larson, OEL? And then I totally forgot. He was actually, I guess he was a draft pick of Arizona originally. Yes, because he went from Arizona to Vancouver.
Yeah, and I saw that picture of him and Domi and Doan.
Yeah.
All together in the unis.
There's a connection with Brad Tre living there, going back.
Was an assistant GM in Arizona before he was a GM in Calgary. So I'm assuming he was in Arizona when Ekman Larson was drafted.
Yeah.
And obviously Shane Doan is a member of the Leafs management staff. So, you know, I'm sure there was a little contact with his old teammate, you know, not a weak link, nudge. No tampering here, folks. No gambling in this establishment, folks. I'll say this, like, I like the signing. I think he's still got something left in the tank. The cap hit is not, again, it's not onerous, $3.5
million. 4 years, $3.5 million,
He's a left shot who can play the right side, but I think they're going to play him on the left side. He clearly, you saw from how he played in the Stanley Cup Final, stepped up, especially in game 6 and 7 when I think Brandon Montour was hurt and he took the quarterback of the power play. And I don't preclude the possibility that he could be the quarterback on the power play. Because he's done it before. He did it in Arizona. He's not that defenseman. He's not the 20 goal scoring defenseman that he was in Arizona, but he is a good power play quarterback. He has a lot of experience at that. And if the lack of a shot from the point is something that you, with Morgan Riley, is a consideration to upgrading the power play, then I don't have a problem with him doing that. He's a solid two-way defenseman. He had 32 points this year, even in a bottom pairing role, mostly in Florida. Played really well in the playoffs. The only disappointment, and it's nothing to do with Ekman Larson, but the only disappointment here is that at $3.5 million, I know money is tight, but you saw what Nikita Zadorov signed with Boston, $5 million. And that is the guy. I mean, gee, is there any more of a Boston Bruin type defenseman than Nikita Zadorov? I mean, I think that's the type of defenseman that the Leafs needed, especially since Lyubushkin left and Edmondson went to L.A. I was hoping that they would be able to upgrade in terms of physicality on the blue line, and one of their other defensemen may fill that gap a little bit. But I was hoping, especially after the way Zadorov played in the playoffs, that there was a possibility they could bring both him and Tanev to Toronto. And especially after seeing the fact that he only got paid $5 million when there was a lot of talk about him getting $6 million. But maybe, you know, the Leafs didn't want to give him 6 years like the Bruins did. And that was, you know, they're only giving Ekman Larson $4 million and it's $3.5 million. He's a top four defenseman. He might end up being a bottom pairing in Toronto, because if you look at the pairings right now, it's Riley Tanev. It's probably McCabe and Simone Benoit.
Yeah.
And it could be OEL and Liljegren. And, you know, you could interchange those other two. That's pretty good. I mean, the other defenseman that they signed, I think, will be in the mix as well. And, you know, I like him, but we'll talk about that guy now.
Yeah, so, that's our final one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Sil.
So Yanni Hakanpaa. So big guy, 2 years, 1.5. He played quite a lot of minutes for Dallas. He was right up around 18, 19 minutes time on ice.
And he didn't play in the playoffs because he was injured. I don't know exactly what the injury was, but the funny thing was, and if I have his history correct, I know that he was in Carolina as a rental, and then he went to Dallas. I think he was in Anaheim before that. You know, he's a big, tough Finn. He's rangy and just he's got that got that real, you know, that wingspan. And, you know, he's, I mean, I've seen him in games where he, you know, other players are just fearful of going in front of the net because he's just going to wallop them. And I've said for a couple of years, oh, I wish the Leafs could get a guy like Hakanpää, you know, and now they got Hakanpää. Like, okay, now I don't know whether, you know, he's not overly old. I think is he 29, 30? He's 32. He's 32.
Oh, he's
okay, so he's a little older, and that's probably the reason. You know, and he's legitimately a zero offense. I mean, you're not gonna get offense out of him. But that's not what they need him for. They need him to be a penalty killer. They need him as a big body on the bottom pairing.
A grinder defenseman, basically.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and I had a friend sarcastically say, well, he's a perfect replacement when Liljegren gets hurt and he's out for 30 games and you have Hakanpää to fall back on. I mean, okay, you know, whatever. But, I mean, you do need at least 7 defensemen and maybe 8. And that's, you know, so I think as a 7, as a 6-7, you could do a lot worse than Jani Hakanpää. So I like that signing a lot.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. So before we move on from the signings, have you heard of any other deals that the Leafs might be in on?
Well,
at this point,
I know Treliving said that he's still looking up front. Now, I mean, I'm you know, they lost Noah Gregor, they didn't qualify him, and he is, you know, he signed with Ottawa. I don't think that they want to depend solely on Fraser Minton or Easton Cowan or Alex Steeves or whoever to, you know, make the roster. You know, Connor Dewar is a restricted free agent, so he'll be back. You know, I'm sure probably we're going to talk about the Nick Robertson situation in a minute, or if not, I'll bring it up. But I think that they need one more forward. They may need more than one more forward if the other situation with number 16 plays out. And Treliving was asked about that in his media availability this afternoon, and he just said, Mitch is a great player, and I really have nothing more to say about it. It's like the silence is deafening when it comes to that situation. So it all depends on, you know, if they stand pat with what they have right now, they're fine. But they, like you said, they need to replace those 20 goals that they lost with Bertuzzi. Now it's a question of, do you think Matthew Nyes can step into the top six? At the end of the year, he was in the top six. I mean, can Bobby McMahon step up in there?
And Nick Robertson, like you said, we need to find out what happens there, because from what Treliving said today, from what I heard in his media availability, like he was saying, like he was hoping, or the Leafs are hoping, that he would, like, he'd be a contributor for next season. And it just, like, a new coach, obviously, with Craig Berube, kind of maybe give him more of an opportunity that way. But I don't know what Robertson is going to think of that.
Well,
but doesn't matter so much what he thinks. He's an RFA, right?
Well,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration of the kid, because not only, I mean, part of it was bad luck because he's had significant injury issues, you know, I mean, just bad luck. To the point that people question his durability, sort of like people question Joseph Wall's durability. Last year, he was healthy. Last year, in limited ice time, he scored 14 or 15 goals. I think the frustration here was that he was getting limited. I mean, he was scoring when he was playing.
It was even strength, right? Even strength too. Yeah.
So it's like you would think that, you know, he score and they're like, okay, we'll give him more ice time. But Sheldon Keefe just didn't believe in him to be able to play good enough defense and not hurt them in other aspects of the game. I don't know if Craig Berube will change that or not. I mean, I think the thing here is that Robertson sees like his the early part of his career ebbing away, and he's not getting an opportunity to really establish himself. And this is costing him, you know, future income and opportunity. So I don't blame him. But really, going back to Treliving's point of view, he's got no leverage. Unless somebody offer sheets Nick Robertson and thinks they can get him on a bargain. And even if, you know, if somebody offer sheeted him, then the Leafs could just match. Now, if they're up against the cap and they say, okay, we'll take the draft picks. Okay. They could, that can happen, but not too many people do that. The teams, you know, there's like sort of that unwritten rule. If it's Carolina and Montreal one-upping each other with Aho and Kotkaniemi, fine. But most teams are not signing other players to offer sheets. So, they qualified him. He really can't go anywhere unless somebody does offer sheet him. If he says, I'm not going to play for them. Okay. Well, he could go to Europe or he could go to the KHL. But the problem is, you know, remember the, Alex Radulov situation with, Nashville back in the day. He had a year left on it, or I think they qualified him. He was still on, I think, his entry level deal. He went to the KHL. He came back. He still had to finish out his contract. He still had a year left. So, you know, you can go someplace else and play, but you still owe that team
the commitment. Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean,
it benefits him more to actually play for the Leafs, show something, and then basically be able to move where he likes if he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the kid. I think he has a ton of talent. I was bummed that he would get hurt early in the season and he would lose his opportunities to really establish himself. This year, I thought he went further than a lot of people thought he would. I think, especially with Bertuzzi leaving, there's a chance that sort of everybody moves up, where like Nye steps into a top line role and, you know, McMahon maybe moves into a second line role. But maybe he sees the fact that he's got two guys on the left side that are bigger and tougher and sort of play more that Craig Berube style, and doesn't think he's going to get an opportunity. If Treliving finds a deal out there where he can get a young defenseman or a young forward that fits Berube better in exchange for Robertson, then I wouldn't have a problem with making that deal. But the problem is that other teams now smell blood in the water, so to speak. And, you know, they know that Toronto is not in an advantageous position when it comes to Robertson. So now they're going to lowball them, and, you know, Treliving might be able to make a deal, but it's not going to be fortuitous. So I don't know how it's going to end up.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing saga throughout the summer, probably. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But all right, let's get just some quick thoughts on what you thought the other teams did at free agency. I guess the biggest news was in Nashville. And that's basically Steven Stamkos leaving Tampa Bay and going to sign with Nashville.
That team had a boring day, didn't they?
Yeah. Jonathan Marchessault, obviously, too, leaving Vegas. He was, I think he was one of the original misfits, right? From Vegas, the last one. Yeah. And Brady Shea went to Nashville as well. Those are three big players there. Nashville totally has transformed themselves, I think, into a real different team anyways from it. What did you think of what they did?
Well, I mean, this is sort of following up on what Barry Trotz did last summer with, you know, Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen. They re-signed UC Saros. They re-signed Philip Forsberg. They re-signed, I think it was Novak, one of their center who was playing well for them. And now they've added, you know, two really good, you know, one future Hall of Famer in Stamkos, and Marchessault is an excellent forward. And Shea is a really good defenseman. So they spent good, they spent big money and they got good players. I just have an issue here, less with Nashville and what they did and more with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, and I've been, and anybody who watches Off the Post or the Buzzcast has known since October that me and Russ Cohen, one of the co-hosts, have been saying that Steven Stamkos was gone, going back to September and October when they refused to negotiate an extension starting in July when he had a year left in the contract. And all you had to do is look at what Tampa Bay has done over the last few years. Any player with their age starting with a three, Palat, Killorn, McDonough, they either traded him or they let him walk to free agency and then said bye-bye or tried to offer them a deal that was like sort of, you know, I mean, with Killorn, they apparently tried to offer him an 8-year deal at like $2 million. It was actually sort of like what the Leafs did with Tanev, but to the point of ridiculousness where it was just like, you know, the PA would look at these players like, are you insane? It's like, you know, like, you know, Stamkos was offered an 8-year deal at $3 million. This is after he took a discount to stay with them 8 years ago. Not have anything to do with the Leafs, because, you know, we know that the Leafs botched that situation with the whole Canadian Tire thing and the Mayor of Toronto, that whole embarrassing bull crap that they did. you know, but he wanted to stay in Tampa. He liked it down there. No tax state. The team was close to winning a Stanley Cup. They had been in the Stanley Cup final the year before, I think. So, and then a few years later, they actually win a couple cups, and he has been through a lot in that organization. He has been through injuries. He has been the leader. He has been the captain, and they treat him like dirt. And you know what? I was doing the free agent show for Hockey Buzz. I didn't see the comments, but apparently when he went on Sportsnet and when he went on TSN, he was not happy. He had real trouble hiding his unhappiness. And Nate Thompson, who was his former teammate in Tampa Bay, came out and excoriated the Tampa Bay Lightning for doing Stamkos dirty. You know, they're a well-run organization. They're a successful organization, but this kind of crap will infect the league to Tampa. You know, a lot of players want to play in Tampa because it's Florida, because it's no tax, but you keep treating players like this, you know, it's going to get back to them. And this was a decision between signing Victor Hedman to an extension or signing Stamkos. They decided they were going to sign Hedman and let Stamkos go, or hope that Stamkos would want to stay in Florida so badly that he would take less. He took less 8 years ago. He wasn't going to do it again. And he basically gave them an $8 million 4-year middle finger to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I thought they, like, that was total embarrassment that they offered him that 8 years at $3 million, or like, that was, like you said, he's a captain of the team. He had the two Stanley Cups and he took the discount originally.
And he scored 40 goals last year.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. And I saw his interview on TSN and he was very disappointed. Like, you could tell, but then at the end of the interview, he turned it around and came out positive, saying he's very much looking forward to his new
By all accounts, he and Marchessault spoke.
Yeah.
And they both decided to give them the middle finger to their respective former teams by going there together. So
it will be, and I think tomorrow the NHL schedule is being released. One of the first things I'm going to look at is when Nashville plays Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Because I will bet you anything, first of all, there'll probably be about a 10 to 15 minute standing ovation at the beginning of that game for Steven Stamkos, and well deserved. But God forbid, and you know, Tampa Bay went another direction and signed somebody else for big money. God forbid if that guy doesn't have success in Tampa Bay, because that will be an albatross around Jake Gensel's neck if he doesn't play well and Steven Stamkos continues to light it up in Nashville. You know, it'll be like a Jason Blake type of thing in Toronto, or, you know what I'm saying? Like a bad, or, you know, or Justin Hall or anybody else who's been bad and who signed a bad deal. You know, I'm just like David Clarkson. Okay. I can go, well, wait a second. I can keep going. There's so many bad ones. Ilya Samson. But yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. 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 All right. And, I guess from the Atlantic division, who do you think was the big winner? I guess like there's the Tampa, obviously we just mentioned Jake Gensel signing, Boston added Nikita Zadorov
and Elias Lindholm. That was
it. Yeah. And yeah, but they lost Jake DeBrusk, right? Mind you,
he was kind of not in the good books last year anyway.
Yeah. Though, last couple of years. Yeah. And then Florida lost Brandon Montour. I don't know. And obviously they lost Anthony Stolarz as a backup.
But they signed Reinhardt though. So.
Oh, and yeah. And they signed Reinhardt. So out of the, I mean, obviously in the Atlantic, it's Leafs, Tampa, Florida, and Boston, right?
Well, okay.
The other three teams there are.
Going through it quickly, because Montreal didn't do anything other than up Juraj Slafkovský on an 8-year deal, which I think was good value. You know, they've locked up their kids for long term, Suzuki and Caulfield, and now Slafkovský. So that's smart, but they really didn't do anything other than that. So they're in a really like a long rebuild, and I'm sure at a certain point Montreal fans are going to start to get a little frustrated with the ponderousness of their rebuild. I think the Ottawa Senators took a step back. I mean, they trade Chychrun for Nick Jensen because it doesn't sound like they could get Chychrun locked up on a long-term extension. There was some chatter about them trading Thomas Chabot, probably to open up the cap space to sign Chychrun, but Chychrun needed to sign that to do that, and he didn't want to do that. So,
and I got some inside info on that because he's our cousin.
Okay,
distant. Not by blood, but we talked to his grandmother today, and so he's very happy actually that that he was traded to Washington.
Yeah.
So she said he's really happy, and that's all she really cares about. So.
Yeah.
So that's really what he wanted. Like, for sure, he wanted to get out.
Yeah, I could see Washington signing him to a long term extension, or even if they don't, I mean, they get a year out of him, and then he goes to the free market and goes where he wants to go. So,
yeah.
Detroit, they re-signed Kane. They added every bad goaltender I can think of: Cam Talbot, Jack Campbell. You know, they didn't.
What is Stevie Y doing over there? I don't know.
He's buying time until Sebastian Kosa, who's their young goalie prospect, is ready. I mean, you know, he's got Husso, he's got Alex Lyon, he's got Talbot, I'm waiting for them to dig up Terry Sawchuk. I was saying they were a goaltender away. They apparently were in on Ullmark, but he doesn't want to spend like big money or big assets to get a goaltender when he thinks he has a goaltender a year or two away. So I understand that, but I think again, the frustration level there in Detroit about them not making the playoffs in a long time. You know, there's definitely impatience there. They're reserving their big money to extend Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond. So they're not going to go out and spend, big, you know, by the way, they let Shane Gostisbehere, who's a flawed defenseman, but a good power play quarterback. They lose out on him. He goes back to Carolina. And who do they sign? Boy, that great ex-Leaf, Eric Gustafson. So they've got Eric Gustafson and Justin Hall. Keep collecting those bad Leaf defensemen there, Detroit. That's your pathway to success. Buffalo really, Buffalo added a bunch of third, fourth liners. You know, I think every ex-Leaf, Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, Sam Lafferty, you know, Jason Zucker. I mean, they, I mean, they added some good depth guys, nobody of major consequence. They bought out Skinner, as we know. So I'm not sure. They're talking a good game about how they think they're improved depth wise, but it, you know, proof is in the pudding. We'll see. Florida, I mean, it's always tough to repeat. And when you lose Ekman Larson and you lose Montour, who was your point guy in the power play, I don't know if you can recover from that. You know, they did re-sign Reinhardt. The one interesting thing I heard, and I can't remember who said it, I think it was on the TSN panel, was they were talking about how the Leafs signed Nylander at 11.5 and Vancouver signed Pettersson at 11-something. And whether that was smarter or letting Reinhardt go nearly to market and then re-signing at 8.6, you know, because that's a much better value than Nylander or Pettersson. But the problem is that neither the province of Ontario or British Columbia are no tax states. You know, they're right. They're not no tax provinces. It's the exact opposite. They're overtaxed. So, I mean, you're not going to get a 57 goal scorer like Sam Reinhardt to sign in anywhere other than Florida or those no tax states for as little as he re-signed in Florida. Look,
Anthony. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think the team that had the best in the Atlantic besides the Leafs would have been Boston. I mean, Lindholm. A little, you know, every center got overpaid in this market, but Lindholm, I think, was the best or the second best center, if you consider Stamkos a center. I think he's more of a winger now, but Lindholm still very good. 7.75 is a little pricey, but that's basically what they were paying Krejci the last few years of his career until, you know, late in his career. So now he's their number one, and Zacha or Coyle moved down to 2 and 3. So they're now deeper at center, and now Zadorov. You add Zadorov to Lindholm and McAvoy and Brandon Carlo. I mean, that, you know, that team will never die, will never go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly, that is probably true.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I think we pretty much covered who are the winners in all of this, but if you could pinpoint, you know, who you think is the biggest winner out of free agency so far.
Nashville.
Would it be Nashville for sure?
Yeah, it's Nashville.
That's what I think too.
Yeah. I mean, the one interesting thing is, and I, you know, the teams that really sucked the last couple of years, like Chicago, like San Jose, like Utah, that had all the cap space, look at the money that they spent. Look at the assets that they traded, you know, to get Sergachev, to sign Durzi, to, you know, add the players that they don't like. Tyler Toffoli gets $6 million a year in San Jose. Teravainen, 5-point-something in Chicago. Bertuzzi. I mean, they, you know, you have to pay these guys. You had to overpay these guys to go to those places because they're not going to win. And you had to overpay them because they have the cap space. Nobody else has cap space. So when you do have it, you're not going to get bargains. You're going to those teams, those players that go to those teams are going to expect to get overpaid.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, thank you for going through all of this with us. As always, your insight is amazing. And we thank you, as always, for being a guest. And obviously, we reserve the right to have you on sometime down the road in the summer on the patio with us to talk about any new Leaf info that comes up.
Anytime.
So you can check out Mike's Leafs blog, as we mentioned, on hockeybuzz.com. And he is also co-host of the Leafs Convo podcast and Off the Post Radio, covering the NHL. And you can find both shows on YouTube. And if you don't follow him on X, make sure you do. He's at Mike in Buffalo. That's his handle. Thanks again, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, ladies.
Thanks again to Mike for coming on the show. We kept him a little bit longer this time, but he gave us a lot of great information, went through all the, I guess, all the signings that the Leafs did today as well, and covered even the draft and the Atlantic Division as well as to what the teams did today. So yeah, thanks again for Mike coming on the show. And before we go, sadly, we just want to talk a little bit about Sergei Berezin. Sadly, another leaf has gone too soon. Sergei Berezin passed away this past week at the age of 52. Berezin was a player we remember watching, and he was from the late 90s, and he was a speedy winger who could skate circles around his opponents. He played five seasons with the Leafs, surpassing 20 goals in all but one of them, and was a key contributor, especially in the playoffs. I remember him just skating down that right, down the wing, and just having the blast of a shot there. But a couple of memorable moments was the goal against Philadelphia to wrap up a series win, and a big time assist on a Stumpy Thomas's OT goal versus Ottawa. Our sincere condolences go out to his family, friends, and his former Leaf teammates.
Mm-hmm. And now a reminder again that we will be talking Leafs all summer long. This is our first patio season episode, and that means our schedule will be monthly up until September. So our next episode will be August 7th. But again, if any big news happens between now and then, we will for sure publish a bonus episode. So just hit that follow button or subscribe button wherever you listen to our show or watch our show, and you won't miss any of the news.
Yeah. And you can also find us on the Believe Network at believe.com. And you can also watch the show on YouTube. We got a ton of videos there from games that we've attended at Scotiabank Arena and from road trips we've gone on where we follow our Leafs. So again, just hit the subscribe button and you won't miss a thing when it comes to the Leafs. At the same time, please consider leaving us a rating or review. We'd love to hear from you. It's very easy on Apple or Spotify, and it's important for our show to get recognized as a source for Leafs content, and we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we take time to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
We thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talking Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, go Leafs, go! Do you believe?
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards carries the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save